for the life-changing truths of God's Word? And let's just thank Him for that right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we approach Your Word this morning, we approach it reverently and respectfully. We realize that Your Word is the truth. It is the truth. There is no other truth. It is the truth that makes us free. Your Word is medicine to all of our flesh. Your Word feeds our spirit. Praise God. The entrance of Your Word gives us light. Your Word renews our mind. Your Word is profitable unto us for doctrine and correction and reproof and instruction in righteousness. Glory to God. Your Word gives us the ability to be wiser than our enemies and to go beyond our teachers. Your Word, praise God, is life-changing in every way. And faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we receive all of those benefits and blessings as we open up our hearts and open up our ears to receive that which we have for us this morning. Holy Spirit, take this Word and make it alive and real to our spirits so that we can go out and be doers of the Word. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. You could go ahead and find Ephesians 4:31 because we'll be there in a moment. Ephesians 4:31. Hallelujah. This morning we're going to continue our series on how to experience or walk in God's best for our lives. How to experience God's best. How to walk in God's best. And in this series, we're listing 12 different ways to do that. 12 different ways to experience God's best. And we left off last week talking about number 6, which is this. Carefully watch what you say. Now, this is life-changing. Pay attention to this. Carefully watch what you say. You know, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Well, it doesn't get any more serious than that, does it? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. It goes on to say, and you will eat, or in other words, you will experience the fruit of what you say, either for death or for life. In other words, your words can cause you to experience life, or your words can cause you to experience death, some form of death. Not that you'll physically die, but you know, death and sin will manifest in your life. And the Amplified Bible says, you will bear the consequences of your words for death or life. The Message Bible says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. How many of you would rather eat fruit than poison? They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Well, this is a really sharp, intelligent crowd this morning. I can tell right off the bat. In other words, what we say will produce life and death, or blessing and cursing in our lives. Now, this has two sides or two points. Two sides or two parts. Number one, you should always speak faith-filled words that agree with God's Word. Always agree with God's Word. I never understand how people sometimes want to take sides against God's Word and say it doesn't work for them, or to believe opposite of God's Word, or to talk opposite of God's Word, and then wonder why things aren't working out. Always agree with God's Word. Let your words agree with God's Word. But number two, always speak love-filled words that encourage and bless others. See, faith-filled words that believe and agree with the Bible receive the promises of God. That's how you receive from God. Faith-filled words cause you to overcome, glory to God, and be blessed. In other words, they lead to life. But words filled with doubt and fear and unbelief and I can't, and you doubt God's Word, those words don't receive the promises. They lead to people experiencing all kinds of defeat and all kind of failure and all kind of problems. They produce death and cursing in our lives. And you know, many people understand that side of it when it comes to word. They understand that that fear-filled words, doubt-filled words, unbelieving words block the power of God from your lives and don't receive from God and open the door to the devil in their lives. They understand that side of it. But we also need to realize very clearly that love-filled words also produce life and blessings in our life. And unloving words, unkind words, cruel words spoken to others or against others produce death and cursing and all kind of problems in our lives. And I'm going to prove that to you from the Word of God before we're through. But for right now, let me just say this. To experience God's best, we should speak and confess and say words that are filled with faith and words that are filled with love. Our words should never violate our faith walk, and they should never violate our love stance. Can you say amen? Now, Ephesians 4:31, let's look here. Praise God. Says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. Everybody say evil speaking. What's that talking about? Cussing? I mean, that would be wrong. What's that talking about? Telling dirty jokes? Telling lies? But no, evil speaking here has a specific meaning that we're going to see found 10 or 12 times in the New Testament letters written to Christians. Evil speaking. Amen. Again, this is written to Christians about 10 or 12 times in the New Testament letters written to the church. In other words, you know, it starts with Corinthians. Corinthians is letters that were specifically written to people that are born again believers, instructing them and talking to them. All right. And so really, we enjoy the gospel so much and they tell us about Jesus, but these letters are written specifically to us, where Paul and Peter and John and Jude, explain things to us about how we should live and conduct ourselves and truths and doctrines that we should understand as born-again believers. Glory to God. And so Christians are repeatedly told not to speak evil. We'll see that in a minute. Not to speak evil, or not to speak evil of others, or not to speak evil to others. Well, the word speak evil, they don't really, grab us like they should. I mean, when you really, really get a revelation and understanding of what it means to speak evil, that it strikes our conscience a lot more than just when we hear the word speak evil. So using other translations, now in a minute I'm going to read to you some of these scriptures, okay? I'm going to, like we read in Ephesians, I'm going to read you from Colossians and from Titus and from Peter and so forth. But for right now, listen to me, using these different scriptures, using other translations that use the expression evil speaking or don't speak evil of others, listen to the way they translate this word, don't speak evil of others, because we can relate to this better, I think. Don't badmouth others. You know what that means, don't you? Don't run other people down with your words. Don't criticize. That's specifically what evil speaking is talking about. Don't run others down. Don't slander them. Don't malign them. Don't disparage them. You understand that. You hear somebody say disparaging remarks. They were making disparaging remarks. In other words, they were bad-mouthing somebody. They were talking them down. And it's very interesting. In the Greek, this word evil speaking has to do with using your words to malign others, to criticize others, to hurt others. And it carries with it the strong connotation. You're doing that in hopes that it will damage their reputation or cause people to think less of them. Therefore, people will withdraw from them. People will not take their side. Maybe if you're talking about somebody critically and slandering them to the boss, then maybe the boss won't promote them. And so it carries with it that strong connotation. In other words, the words are designed, you may not actively realize it, but the words that are critical are designed to, in essence, hurt them in some way, to damage their reputation in some way. And the word in the Greek also carries with it the strong connotation, it's coming because you have some sort of ill will against that person. Does that make sense to you? So these other translations from all these different scriptures, don't badmouth, don't criticize, don't speak against, don't slander. Another one says, don't abuse others with your words. Don't defame others with your words or insult others. Don't talk bad about others or curse others or say bad things about them or tear them down or backbite or use abusive words or blasphemous language or say things that will hurt them. Well, can you now begin to really understand what the Bible is talking about when it says, don't speak evil? Amen. All right. So with that background, let me just read some of these scriptures to you. We just read in Ephesians 4 where it says, let all evil speaking be put away from you, and everything evil speaking means. Colossians 3:8 tells Christians to put off anger, wrath, malice, and blasphemy. Well, that's kind of blind to us when we heard the word blasphemy. But that word blasphemy there is the same exact Greek word translated evil speaking in Ephesians 4:31. Titus 3:2 says, speak evil Don't bad mouth. Don't talk against. Don't tear down. Don't criticize. Speak evil of no one. That's the same exact Greek word translated blasphemy in Colossians 3:8. Well, why blasphemy? Because when we usually think of blasphemy, we think about somebody blaspheming God. But to blaspheme, and you know, just the straight definition, means to speak against, or to vilify with words, or to revile, or criticize, or defame. So you can see why this word is translated blasphemy here, but it means don't speak evil of others. So Colossians 3:8, Titus 3:2 is translated, says to speak evil of no one. James 4:11 says, do not speak evil of one another, and all that speak evil means. 1 Peter 2:1 says, lay aside all malice, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. 1 Peter 3:10 tells believers to refrain their tongues from speaking evil. Well, again, the word speaking evil means talking bad about others. And in context there, it's very clear, as we'll see in a minute, that that's talking about not criticizing, backbiting, using abusive language, maligning, defaming, tearing down other people. By the way, Colossians 3:8, let me back up where it says, tells Christians to put off blasphemy. Other translations say, instead of blasphemy, they say, don't slander others. Don't be insulting and cruel with your words, or say things that hurt others. So 1 Peter 3:10, refrain your tongues from speaking evil. 1 Peter 3:9, this is a different word, but it says for us not to return reviling for reviling. King James Bible says railing for railing. Well, what does it mean to rail or to revile? Glory to God. Well, it means the same thing. It means don't criticize, don't condemn, don't slander, don't libel, don't run other people down, don't speak evil of another person. Praise God. Amen. So very obviously, this is important. Can you say amen? Amen. Unkind, cruel, hurtful words to or about others is sin. It's wrong. And the Bible clearly places a lot of emphasis on us not doing this. There are things that people teach on and preach on that there's only two or three scriptures on. This has got several scriptures on. And so this is clearly important to us. Now, I said to you that speaking words of love, listen carefully now, versus speaking words that criticize and demean and hurt others produces life or death in your life. Just like words of faith versus words of fear and doubt and unbelief produce life or death in your life. Somebody might say, well, I understand that when it comes to faith-filled words. I understand that when your words release your faith and therefore receive from God, and faith is the victory that overcomes the world, and faith is how we obtain the promises, and faith is how we live victoriously in this life. And I understand that fear-filled words open the door to the devil, just like faith-filled words open the door to God in our lives. I understand that. I understand how that works. But how does speaking wrong words, unloving words, produce bad things in my life? I mean, somebody says, I mean, I know I shouldn't do it, or at least you're telling me I shouldn't do it, and the Bible says I shouldn't do it, and I agree with that. But does it really produce a harvest of negative things, bad things in my life? I mean, how does that work? How does that happen? Well, here's how it works. First of all, listen carefully, if we are speaking evil, and all that means, criticizing, maligning, tearing down, if we're speaking critical words about someone, I mean, somebody might do that just because they're jealous of them, you know. But primarily, the number one reason that people talk bad about other people is because they have some sort of resentment or anger or bitterness or unforgiveness in their hearts against that person. That's why they're doing it. That's the root of those unkind words. That's the root of those evil speaking words. That's the root of those words that are tearing down a person. It's because they're mad at that person. They're angry with that person. They're upset at that person. They have some sort of ill will in their heart toward that person. Amen. And as you know, and this will be one of our major points at some point, Unforgiveness blocks the power of God in your life. Unforgiveness stops your faith from working. Unforgiveness stops your prayers from working. Unforgiveness opens the door to the devil where he can move in and steal, kill, and destroy. Well, that's producing death in your life, isn't it? Anytime he steals and kills and destroys, then it's producing death in your life. And when people speak negatively and ugly and cruelly and slander and malign other people, it's because, most of the time, maybe is a better way to say it, it's because people are upset with somebody or mad at somebody or angry at somebody or have some sort of unforgiveness in their heart, which means you will experience death and some not so good things. Death will manifest in depression or sickness or lack or defeat or unhappiness and misery and some sort of emotional turmoil. And then let's look specifically, we mentioned this a while ago, but let's look specifically at 1 Peter chapter 3. This is a very powerful passage here. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse number 9. 1 Peter 3, 9. Let's just back up and read verse 8, because it's so good. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. Not returning evil for evil. The word not in the Greek is an extremely strong expression. It means don't ever do this. Never be guilty of this. Never, 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 never return evil for evil or reviling for reviling, railing for railing. Evil word for evil word. In other words, when people curse you, when people criticize you, when people talk bad about you, when people come against you with their words, don't return. See, it says not returning. King James says not rendering. That's a little blind to us. But what rendering means is don't pay them back. We understand that, don't we? Payback. Don't pay them back. Don't retaliate. If they do you evil, don't retaliate with evil. Don't retaliate when they're speaking against you and telling half-truths about you and criticizing you and slandering you and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Don't return that to them. Glory to God. Other translations say don't return insult for insult or cursing for cursing or hurtful words for hurtful words. Glory to God. So we understand that. But notice this. Watch this. Not returning evil, but on the contrary, instead. Everybody say instead. Instead of returning evil word for evil word, what should you do? Instead, do this. On the contrary, blessing. In other words, go ahead and bless them with acts of kindness and especially with the words of kindness. Bless them with your words, knowing, everybody say knowing, that you were called to this so that you may inherit a blessing. The Amplified Bible says, so that you may inherit a blessing from God that brings about well-being, happiness, and protection in your life. Well, you know what well-being is, don't you? That means things are going well for you. That means your whole spirit, soul, and body. Your total well-being. You want well-being in your life. Praise God. And so he says, listen, if instead of cursing them back, instead of insulting them back, instead of saying cruel things back to them or about them, go ahead and bless them and you will inherit a blessing. You'll have welfare. You'll have happiness. You'll have protection. In other words, when you bless others by speaking love-filled words, then you will experience life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You see that? It'll produce life in your life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Use your words to bless, not curse. Use your words to help, not hurt. Use your words to build up others and not tear them down. Then you will receive a blessing. Therefore, speaking words of love produces life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Ephesians 4:29, I like it so much. Living Bible says, let no harmful words come out of your mouth, but only what is beneficial for building others up. The Passion Translation says, never let ugly or hateful words come out of your mouth, but instead let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage. Somebody says, oh, isn't this such a sweet poetic scripture? It's more than that, honey. This is a command from the living God. This says, don't ever, let her fear work. Don't ever tear other people down. Don't ever destroy people's lives. Don't ever malign. Don't ever try to cause harm to come to somebody's life because of the words that you are speaking about them, because you've got some sort of ill will in your heart against that person. Don't ever do that. Amen. It's a command, and it's also, if you do it, it will produce wrong things in your life. But if you do the right thing and bless instead of curse, it will produce good things in your life. Hallelujah. Notice this says, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, instead blessing, knowing that you were called to this. You were called to this. You were called to this. You know, Peter said, or rather Paul said in Romans 12, 14, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. The Lord Jesus said, bless those who curse you. What are you talking about, somebody that curses you? Well, in that sense, to curse somebody is to speak evil against them. I mean, that's what he's talking about, using words to destroy people, to curse them, to malign them, all these things we said. It means to badmouth them in order to invoke some sort of harm or evil. That's why it says curse. So Jesus said, you follow me? You follow me there, Margie? Bless them that curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who mistreat you. You study it all out, and it means to slander and insult you. Luke, that's Matthew, Luke's gospel, Luke 6, 28 says it this way. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. Spitefully means they abuse you, hurt you, harm you. And includes with your words. So the Amplified Bible, the Amplified Classic Bible of Luke 6, 28, watch this, says, invoke blessings. Everybody say invoke. Invoke blessings upon and pray for the happiness of those who curse you, of those who revile you. That's the new, I'm reading from that classic. That's the new Amplified. Those that curse you, those that revile you and disparage you. Glory to God. So we are, again, Jesus said, we're called to this. You're to bless those that disparage you. You're to bless those that come against you. Glory to God. It's for your own well-being, praise God. And so it says, verse 10, for he who would love life. That's a quote from Psalms, you know, Psalms 34, 12. Over in Psalms it says, he who loves many days. He who would love life, he who loves many days. To love life means if you want to live a long time on the earth. If you don't want to die when you're 40 or 52 or 60, he who would love days, who would live a long time on the earth and see good days. Those aren't good days when your prayers aren't answered. Those aren't good days when you can't overcome. Anybody can be attacked, but we can overcome the attack. Can you say amen? Lord, I mean, there's a difference between being attacked and defeated. Those aren't good days when you're defeated. It's a good day, even though you're attacked, that you overcome the attack. Those aren't good days when you're defeated. Those aren't good days when you're sick and broke and can't pay your bills and depressed and have all kind of mental problems and marital problems and all kind of problems in all areas of life and you can't overcome. Those aren't good days. But he who would love life and see good days, what do you do? What do you do? Amen. Good days are when you're enjoying God's blessings and walking in your covenant rights and overcoming the problems of life. So what do you do? Do this, verse 10, or the rest of verse 10. Let him refrain his tongue from evil. What evil? From speaking evil of others. That's the whole context of this. From repaying, reviling from reviling, cursing from cursing, slander with slander. Instead of blessing, when you return cursing, you're not refraining your tongue from evil. Refrain your tongue from the evil of speaking against other people to enjoy a long life and see good days. Wow! And that's good stuff. We ought to read that 4 or 5 times a day. Glory to God. Glory to God. Don't use your lips, in other words. Then it goes on to say, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit or guile. Don't use your words to with guile deceitfully talk bad about others. Because usually when somebody's bad-mouthing another person, they're usually telling it strictly from their own viewpoint. They're leaving out certain details that might favor the other person. See, that's guile. That's deception. If I'm talking to Tony and I'm telling him all the dirty things John did to me, but I'm leaving out what I did to John and leaving out, you know, information, then I'm trying to deceive him. I'm not giving him all the facts, you see. So don't let your words be full of deceit and guile. Don't, people make unfounded and suggestive remarks. That's guile. Anybody says, well, what about so-and-so? You know, and you raise your eyebrows and you kind of look funny and you're trying to suggest something to them without giving them all the facts. That's guile. That's deception. You follow that? Praise God. Selfish, unloving, anger-motivated perspective is usually full of guile. And so Brother Hagin said this. You can't improve on this. Praise God. This is from his book, Love the Way to Victory. He said, have you ever stopped to think? Have you ever stopped to think that your tongue has a lot to do with the quality of your life? See, good days. Have you ever stopped to think that your tongue has a lot to do with the quality of your life? It also has a lot to do with how long you live on this earth. And it has much to do with whether or not the days you live are good days or bad days. What you say has everything in the world to do with enjoying a long, good life. The secret of enjoying life and seeing many long, good days is contained in 1 Peter 3:10. Refrain your tongue from evil. Love always refrains from talking evil. Love, see, because he understands this. He says, love speaks no guile or evil about others. And the God kind of love seeks peace with every person. Sometimes when people are sick, even though they've been thoroughly grounded in the truth of the word, and they make all the right confessions, they have difficulty getting their faith to work for them. They have faith, but they can't seem to get their faith to work. They can't seem to get it activated. Well, why isn't it working? The first thing they should examine is their love walk. Are they harboring ill will or unforgiveness in their hearts? Are they speaking evil about others? Are they criticizing others and backbiting? 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, and the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The evil that he's talking about in this whole passage is the evil of speaking against others. We could read this verse, he says, like this. The eyes of the Lord are on those who do right. We could also read it like this. The eyes of the Lord are over those who walk in love, and his ears are open to their prayers. You see, there are no hindrances to your prayers when you're walking in the God kind of love. There are no hindrances to your prayers when you're walking in the God kind of love. But the Bible says the face of the Lord is against them who do evil. Every step out of love is sin. We could also read this verse. The face of the Lord is against those who speak evil about others. How does a Christian sin? By not walking in sin. By not walking in love. By talking about others. We could put it this way. Every step out of love is doing evil. Love works no evil to his neighbor, to ill to his neighbor. Love refrains from speaking evil. Love, God's love, would never say anything bad about anybody. I had a Sunday school teacher, you know, when I was growing up, and, kind of a preteen type Sunday school teacher, and he was a tremendous man of God, and he led the song leader, I think we called it, in the Baptist church in those days. And later in life, he became a full-time pastor for many years. But he always said that to us kids. He always said, if you can't say something good about somebody, then don't say anything at all. Well, that was better advice than I realized. If you can't say something good about somebody, then that's scriptural. If you can't say something good about somebody, then don't say anything at all. Brother Hagin says, when you criticize others and speak evil about them, you are sinning because you are not walking in love. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. What else? What else? Real quickly, look at Matthew chapter 7. We're establishing that life and death are in the power of the tongue, either for, you know, good or for bad in our lives, and that includes the words that come out of our mouth that express love or that abuse others and criticize others and talk bad to or talk bad about others. Matthew 7 says, judge not that you be not judged. A lot of confusion about this scripture. We'll not go into great detail, but just look down at verse number 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Well, to know them by their fruits, you'd have to make a judgment, wouldn't you? It's kind of like I was listening to a guy one time, and he said, we're not judging anybody. We're just inspecting fruit this morning. But I'm just trying to point out in this, just a few verses, just a few, that Jesus is talking, and just a minute and a half later, he said, you need to judge them by their fruits. And if you'll read the New Testament, you'll find there's several places where it tells us to make judgments. And where we have to make judgments to be able to do what the Word of God tells us to do. You will know them by the fruits. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. Verse 20, therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. No, Matthew 7:1, when it says, long story short, judge not that you be not judged, means don't have a judgmental, critical, condemning attitude toward others. Don't be judgmental. Don't be critical. Don't be condemning. See, condemning means not only are you saying they're wrong, but they deserve to pay for it. And this is often done, of course, with our words. Words that are judgmental and critical and condemning because of what we say about somebody. In other words, this comes under the heading of speaking evil of others with the intent of condemning that person, with the intent of harming that person in some way. If you do, it says, verse number 2 says, for with the judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. In other words, if you do it, it's going to come back on you. Do you know when you sow bad seeds and then you reap the results of that bad seed because you didn't repent, you didn't get rid of it, that's a form of judgment, isn't it? People get confused about this idea of judgment, but if you sow wrong things and reap bad things, then that's a form of judgment. The Message Bible, Matthew 7:1-2 says, don't pick on people, jump on their failures, and criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same kind of treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. And that's really what judge not that you be not judged is all about, not having a critical spirit. If you do, it will come back on you. See, if we give, if we sow, just like if you sow something good, if you sow finances, if you sow righteousness, if you sow something good, if you sow kindness, but if you sow a critical, judgmental, condemning words about others, then that is what you will reap. Matter of fact, in Luke's gospel, when he uses this exact expression of don't be judgmental and critical and don't judge others, the next verse says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So in perfect context, it's talking about not sowing judgment and criticism toward others. Of course, give and it shall be given unto you definitely applies to finances because it applies to all areas. Amen. Joyce Meyer said this. She said, I wonder, listen to this. I wonder, she's talking about Matthew 7:1. And she said, I wonder how much trouble we have in our lives. How many of you like trouble in your lives? I wonder how much trouble we have in our lives because we open the door to Satan by being judgmental and critical of other people. Wow. So we should always watch what we say. Are you listening carefully? Watch what you say, because life and death are in the power of our words. Just this week, Todd Bailey sent me this. This was really interesting. He sent me this little clip by Brother Hagin. You know, there's millions of them out there. And so you can see it and so forth. And I wish I could show it to you, Brother Hagin put it in a very humorous way, talking about the power of words. He said in this little clip, words of doubt and fear will dominate you. Your words dominate you. If you say you cannot, then the moment you say it, you're defeated and whipped. Christians should never talk failure. They should never talk defeat. That's one thing I've never done. Nobody's ever heard me do. No one's ever heard me talk failure. I don't care, you know, if maybe failure is walking naked in front of me. I don't pay any attention to it. You get his point. Everybody laughed hysterically, you know. I don't care if it's walking naked in front of me. I don't care if sickness is walking naked and dancing all around me. See, it's trying to get your attention. It's trying to get your focus. It's trying to get you to doubt God's word. It's trying to get you in fear. It's trying to get you out of love. So whatever it is that's dancing all around in front of you, trying to get your attention, don't pay any attention to it. Walk by faith and not by sight. Keep your eyes on Jesus and just keep believing what Jesus said and saying what Jesus said and agreeing with the Word of God and talking about others with the spirit of love. No one's ever heard me talk failure. I don't care if maybe failure is walking neck in front of me. I don't pay any attention to it. Bless God, I refuse to talk failure. I don't talk defeat. You talk sickness and it will develop sickness in your system. So I don't ever talk sickness. Well, that's good advice, isn't it? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So always speak words of faith. Always let your words agree with the Bible. God's Word. And never use your words to tear down and harm another person. Love doesn't do that. I said love doesn't do that. Can you say amen? Now, I believe at the end of every message, you ought to give people a chance to act on the Word of God. This next 5 minutes could save your, tremendous pain in your body, could save you a bout with some sickness and disease, could even keep you from dying young. Listen carefully. When you look up these Greek different words translated don't speak evil or railing, or reviling, or cursing, you know, don't speak evil of others. When you look up those different words in the Greek, it's interesting from those Greek word studies, this word comes up that you probably never used. You hear this word quite often, they'll say it means vituperation. Now, you probably never used the word vituperation last week, did you? You didn't say, can you believe Sister So-and-so, and I was talking to her, and the vituperation just spewed out of her mouth. But vituperation means, listen carefully, it means extremely harsh words to another person or about another person. Extremely critical words spoken to a person or about a person. Abusive words to a person or about a person. But it carries with this connotation, listen carefully now, that reflects deep-seated ill will. You're speaking evil of another person because it's reflecting some deep-seated ill will. And, you know, it's with the hopes that it's going to hurt them in some way. So that's kind of ugly, I know, but we've all done it. So we've all done it. So this morning, let's deal with the root cause of a lot of evil speaking. Stand up. Everybody stand up. Praise God. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Why don't you just close your eyes for a moment? Hallelujah. Focus on the Lord. Think about the Lord. If while I was preaching and teaching this morning, if you recognized, well, yeah, you know, or if you do recognize as I'm talking right now, here's somebody that every time their name comes up, you know, something kind of boils on the inside of you. Or every time their name comes up and you start talking about them, some sort of criticism comes out. Some kind of, you know, you're just really tempted to badmouth them and talk about them and tell them how dirty they did you and tell them how wrong they are about something. Let that be a clue to you. Let that awaken you this morning and cause you to realize, is the reason I'm having such a hard time with this person because I have some sort of ill will in my heart? Do I have some sort of animosity toward that person? Do I have some sort of unforgiveness in my heart toward that person? I mean, this could save your life. This could, you know, we talk about the move of the Spirit. We talk about having a breakthrough. This could be your breakthrough. You don't shout and dance and jump around, but you make a decision to forgive that person and to begin to bless that person with your words. This could be your breakthrough. This could be the thing that stops the devil's attack in your life. That's why it's so important. So let's deal with the root cause. If you recognize that you're speaking ill of somebody and abusing them with your words, and you're constantly saying unkind things to them, cruel things to them or about them. It could be your wife, it could be your husband, it could be your mother, your father, your son, your daughter. If regularly every time their name comes up, you just want to say bad things about them, it's probably the result of some sort of ill will or resentment or unforgiveness or anger in your heart against that person. So what are you going to do? Well, are you going to get rid of it? How do you get rid of it? You say, Father, forgive me. It has nothing to do with how they may have done you dirtier than anybody's ever done anybody dirty since the beginning of time. We're not saying they didn't. But for you to respond in kind and to be angered and back and to hold unforgiveness against them is wrong in the eyes of God, who has forgiven you of more than they have ever done to you. So you say, Father, forgive me. I repent of this. I repent of this. I ask you to forgive them. And right now, as an act of faith, I forgive them. I forgive them in Jesus' name. I forgive them. I refuse to hold it against them. I will not take this up in my thought life anymore. I will not hold it against them. And now go beyond that and do what the Word of God says. And just right in your own mind, in your heart, under your breath, bless them with your word. Say, Father, I pray for God's blessing to come upon them. If they're all wrong and all messed up and they need to be dealt with, then God will take care of that in order that they get blessed. But you say, Father, I bless them. Glory to God, I forgive them. I don't hold anything against them. I refuse from this day forward to say anything evil about them, to slander them, to malign them, to talk about them in a way that makes them look little in other people's eyes. I refuse to do that. I forgive them. Everybody say, I forgive them. Everybody say it, I forgive them. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just bless people that have come against us, people that have tried on purpose to harm us, people who have in fact harmed us. We just bless them in the name of Jesus. We forgive them. We release them. We turn them into your hands. We let them off the hook. Glory to God. We thank you that we have been given so much. We've been forgiven the big debt, praise God. So anything they did to us is just a little bitty debt compared to the forgiveness you have given us. And so we love them and we forgive them. And we just ask you to help them and to make them whole and to bless them and their family and bless their finances and bless their life, praise God. Hallelujah. We understand, Father, from a natural and from a spiritual perspective that they might have to make some changes. But Father, we pray that they make those changes so that they become blessed. But we're not against them. We're not against them. We refuse to allow the least bit of ill will or animosity in our hearts against anybody. Say that. Say, I refuse to allow. I absolutely refuse to allow the least bit of ill will or animosity or bitterness or unforgiveness in my heart against anybody in Jesus' name. And then do this. Make the decision. Make the decision that I will carefully watch my words, specifically when it comes to what I say about other people, and just make the decision, I will not talk bad about anybody. I will not say anything that portrays somebody in a bad light or that tears them down in the name of Jesus. I absolutely, from this day forward, refuse to do it. Somebody says, well, if I can't talk fear and doubt and unbelief and I can't gossip, then I ain't got anything to say. Good! Glory to God. Yeah, now that spirit of unforgiveness may dance around you naked trying to get your attention and trying to get you to pick it back up, but you just push it aside and say, no, I have forgiven them. I have forgiven them, and I refuse to talk bad about them in Jesus' name. This can save your life. This can dramatically change your life. This can release great blessings in your life, great rewards in your life, and stop the attack of the devil in its tracks in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Everybody say vituperation. Doesn't it? See, it sounds like a hiss of a snake, doesn't it? Shh, a viper. It kind of means that. A deadly, demonic attack on other people. Somebody says, well, I don't hate them. Yeah, you do. When you're talking hateful to them, that's expressing hate. When you're talking hateful about them, that's expressing, and all it does is hurt you. You know this. You've heard it many times. But somebody says, holding unforgiveness against another person is like drinking poison and hoping it hurts them. It ain't gonna hurt them. You know, I heard Rick Renner tell a long story the other day about somebody that just did him dirty and did him wrong. And he said, this thing was eating my lunch. It was really eating my lunch. And he said, bad. And he said, I was struggling with this. And finally, after months and months and months, he called the person to talk to the person. The person just laughed it off and never admitted that he did. He said, because, you know, I got to rub shoulders with this person. There's people you're going to rub shoulders with that have done you dirty. He said, I got to rub shoulders with this person. I'm going to see this person from time to time. And after I talked with him, you know, and tried to have a open and honest discussion, it was quite obvious that he was like, I don't even know what you're talking about, man. I didn't do anything wrong to you, and I don't care what you say. And he said, so, you know, you got to forgive that. But bottom line, you just got to let it go. You just got to let it go. Praise God. Because after all, you know, I'm rambling, but I'll close. Girl come to see me one time. You know, she's a lady. I knew her when she was a girl, you know, because I've been here a long time. She come to see me and she said, when I was diagnosed with cancer, you know, stage 3 cancer. And she said, well, I wanted to come see you. She goes, I was mad at you and bitter towards you. She said, but I didn't want you to die. You can laugh. It's okay. But, you know, sometimes you have to think about, well, you're upset with that person, but do you want them to die? You go, well, no, I don't want them to die. Just love them. Just love them. Can you say amen? Say, I will use my words to bless and edify and never to tear down. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. We love you. We love you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus.